Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 50 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, is brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny office of Iowa Realty. They are located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we've got a good show lined up for you today. In a little while, we'll be talking some hoops with a former Ankeny boys basketball standout who is gearing up for a trip of a lifetime. So I'm anxious to talk to him about that. But right now, we want to bring in our first guest. He has been the activities director at Ankeny High School since 2013, but he'll be departing at the end of this month to take the same position at Dallas Center Grimes. So I wanted to have him on today to talk about his time at Ankeny and some of the biggest highlights, of his career here. He is Brent Butcher. Brent, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Good, Dan. Thanks. Appreciate the time.
Hey, you bet. Well, I know we had you on the podcast one other time, and Jared Stansberry had to fill in for me because I had lost my voice. And now I'm a little bit under the weather again, but I'm going to soldier on here and get through this. So
awesome.
I know a few times I've been sick here in the last year coincided with your appearances on the podcast. So I may not have you on again, but we'll see. But seriously, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
You bet. Absolutely.
Well, I imagine this has been kind of a hectic time for you. You're probably trying to get everything all situated, here in Ankeny for your replacement. And we'll talk about him later, but I'm sure you're also trying to get a head start on things at DCG. So you're pretty busy right now?
Yeah, I mean, transitions are always interesting. I've done this a couple times now, and, you're trying to, tie up some loose ends here at your current school and then, get to know people at the school that you're headed to and kind of the processes and the way they do things. But it's a good busy time. It's something that I enjoy doing, and it's something that you get a lot of time to reflect a little bit on things that have taken place over the course of the last 6 years here, and then kind of get a chance to set some visions for what's going to take place at DCG.
Well, before we talk about your time at Ankeny, let's talk about DCG a little bit. What attracted you to that position over there?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a question I get asked a lot. I would say probably. So, I'm a small town, a Northeast Iowa boy. For 21 of my 27 years, I've spent at the 3A, really small 4A atmosphere and environment. And that was the one job that I had actually looked at prior to coming to Ankeny. But at the course of the time, Steve Watson, was nowhere close to retiring. So when this opened up, I made contact. They contacted me, and we started getting some things discussed here, and it just seemed like the right fit for me at this time professionally and personally as well. I'm getting towards the end of my career, and the why is really important to me, and it appeared to me at this point in time that DCG's why and my why matched up real well.
Well, I know DCG is a really growing district, because of the growth in that area, did you see a lot of similarities between the job over there and the one at Ankeny that you came to?
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities. And that was part of the discussion points that we talked about. They're growing into their shoes and probably within the next 2 or 3 years could likely be, in that class 4A. And I know that was an interest to the DCG folks, and the fact that we helped Ankeny, split 6 years ago and kind of get a new fresh start on some things here. And that's kind of where they're at too. So definitely.
Well, you mentioned Steve Watson, you're replacing, a longtime AD over there. And I know him from my time at the Register. He was a very well-respected administrator here in Central Iowa. You got some big shoes to fill, don't you?
Yeah. And Steve and I we've known each other for quite a few years and a lot of respect for that guy. And he's a guy that, you got to keep close to the program. I think that's true in any time you take over, whether it's taking over a sports program, whether it's the new football coach or new volleyball coach or new band director or whatever, to embrace the past has always been something that I've believed in. So Steve will stay in my cell phone real close, and he has an opportunity to come back and work anytime he wants to, but still enjoy retirement in the same process. I really have a lot of respect for him, and I know the ship's steered in the right direction over there, and it'll be fun to go in there and see how he does things, and try to put a little spin on it as well.
Well, we talked about maybe there are some similarities, to the job here at Ankeny, but what do you think are going to be your biggest challenges going over there?
I think that, as we take a look at where they're headed to, they're going to open up a brand new middle school. At that middle school, there'll be tennis courts available. Currently, they co-op with Johnston in tennis and swimming and bowling. So I think it's just kind of, you're getting those new programs started, taking care of the ones that are in good shape. As always in new positions, you got to figure out who the Tim Simpkins are of DCG. You got to figure out You know, who's your plumbers, who's your booster club people, you know, your ticket takers that you can count on, who's keeping score books, you know, and who's doing the announcing for you. So, just to get to know those individuals and get to know them fast, I think are probably the biggest challenges I'll see. The job, you know, it doesn't matter where you're at, a small school or a big school, you still got to take care of schedules, you got to take care of transportation officials, all of those things stay constant. It's getting to know the lay of the land, so to speak, is probably going to be the biggest challenge and fun at the same time.
Well, I hope you can find a Tim Simpkins. Everyone needs a Tim Simpkins.
Yeah.
So.
we're going to Tim and I have got to know each other real well. He was one of the first guys that reached out to me when I got the job here, and we've become really good friends. And both of us enjoy getting on our Traegers and smokers and sharing meat recipes and things like that. So, yeah, definitely everyone needs a Tim Simpkins.
Well, you mentioned that DCG will probably be a 4A school eventually. So, do you think it'll be part of the CIML then?
You know, there's a lot of things that could change in the landscape. To be honest with you, discussion right now at the association level, especially on the boys' side of things, is four classes enough, you know, or does it make sense to potentially look at five and then separate, you know, the top 34, 36 from everybody else? You know, I've even seen some things. We've talked a little the other day about some concepts out of Iowa City that show the top 16. So, will they be part of the same? I think there's too much time out there to, you know, I think there's a lot of options out there for schools like DCG, Urbandale, potentially Indianola, Norwalk. I mean, they're all kind of all bouncing, you know, in between that level. So it'll be interesting to see. It's hard to define at this point in time what it might look like.
Well, I know Waukee's adding another high school. Is that supposed to come up like in a couple years? Is that right?
Yeah, I believe it's a year after next, I believe.
Oh, wow. That'll change the landscape too.
So. For sure.
We're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time home buyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending and the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 if you have any questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs. Well, we're visiting with outgoing Ankeny Activities Director Brent Butcher, and now we want to talk a little bit about some of his time, you know, here at Ankeny, some of his highlights there. Well, Brent, you certainly faced some challenges when you first came to Ankeny because of the school district, you know, was splitting into two high schools. I think there was some apprehension throughout the entire community about how that would work out. But I'm sure you wouldn't have come here in the first place if you didn't think it was a good move for you and your family. You know, so was there anything that happened with your job that maybe surprised you or maybe that you weren't prepared for?
You know, I think that, you know, when you take a look at where we were at 6 years ago with the split, and certainly I was very aware of some of the apprehensions that people had. But I think that, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, where we've come from, you know, we take a look at the difficulty pieces. There's certainly a political component to Ankeny, and I probably underestimated that a little bit. I've said this, and this is a compliment actually. The community of Ankeny lives, breathes, and dies activities, right? And not every school district is like that. And so that was definitely a draw. Where that can be a little bit of a negative is when it gets to be a little bit excessive and we lose sight a little bit of how do we define success, you know? And yep, the championship trophies are awesome, but I really believe championship relationships are as important, if not more important, than the championship trophies. And certainly we were able to build some of those throughout our course of our 6 years here. But I would say probably the political landscape, maybe. Not that I wasn't prepared for it, but maybe surprised me just a little bit. You know, I think, you know, the credit goes to the administration prior to us arriving and, you know, splitting the two schools and really creating that unified feeling, that concept. As we all know, I think that's probably the further you get away from the split, the more of a rivalry it truly is between the north and south side. I know the kids really enjoy it. I know it's really hard on parents and coaches when we get to that rivalry week. But that's what it is, you know, and that's why we play the game,
sure,
you know, to see what takes place.
Well, of course, when we had the split, you know, there were some teams on both sides of town that struggled in various sports, and I think some people kind of expected that to happen, but it wasn't easy for some people to deal with, I don't think.
No, for sure. You know, that's just pride, you know, and you can't fault pride. And, you know, passion, there's passion that's ingrained in this community. And there's nothing absolutely wrong with that moving forward.
Well, did you have any specific goals in mind, you know, that you wanted to accomplish when you came here? And do you feel like you accomplished them?
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you take a look at, you know, participation numbers, so let's talk about the reason why the split took place. I think, you know, the administration had the foresight to go, well, we want our kids to have every single opportunity that they have available to them. So in order to do that, we need to split the schools, whether it's academic opportunities, whether it's fine arts opportunities, whether it's athletic opportunities. And there's no question that our participation numbers are as high as they've ever been. And they've continually, you know, trajectory up, you know, throughout the course of the 6 years. So we're really proud of that. I'm proud of the fact that we have hired some. Well, first of all, retained. You know, there were some great coaches that were here. We were able to bring in some great coaches and directors into our program. And I think the thing that I'm probably most proud of is the sheer fact that our kids just bought into the sledgehammer, hard hat, and lunch pail mentality on our side of town. And they go to work every day. Now, it's not perfect, okay, but they go to work every day, and they're maximizing potential and getting opportunities to compete at a very high level and succeeding.
Well, you mentioned you know, the coaches that were in place here. One of them was Dave Wims, who then retired, and you recently brought him back. And I know hiring coaches is probably one of the biggest challenges of your job, but maybe that was one of the easier hires for you, huh?
Yeah, that was kind of a no-brainer, to be honest with you. That was I had been talking with Dave for a couple of years, and not necessarily about, you know, coming back and taking over a program, but do you miss it? You know, and I could see in his eyes, you know, I could, you know, follow his Facebook posts and his tweets and see that the juices were still flowing for him. And the guy absolutely loves kids and loves the sport of volleyball and athletics overall. And it was the right time for him. And we're really, really excited for the kids to have him return and have him continue to pursue the dreams that we all have.
Well, now that he's retired as a teacher, he might even be able to put more time into his job.
He will. I can guarantee it. I caught him on the backside of the school here this afternoon, and he was headed to camp. You know, so we had the volleyball camps ready to go here. So, yeah, it's awesome to have Dave back, and what a class act and true professional. You know, it's the one guy who you know, he's really old. He's old-fashioned when it comes to his tactics and that type of thing, but he understands kids so well. And who he can raise his voice to, you know. You know, some people say, well, he yells all the time. Just stop and think about that for a second and listen to what he's saying. And he's coaching, and he's coaching hard, and he knows who he can coach really, really hard and who he has to pat on the back. That's Dave Wims, and that's why he's been so successful.
Oh, sure. Well, tomorrow the girls' state soccer tournament will get underway. Ankeny will play Lynmar Marion in a rematch from last year's quarterfinals. And the Hawkettes seem to be peaking at the right time. They closed out the regular season with a win at Waukee, and then they cruised through the regional tournament. You know, do you like their chances to make another deep run at state?
I do. And when you look at the way the brackets are set up, and anytime you can stay away from Waukee and Centennial and see them in the finals, I think that's a good setup. And that's not taking anything away from Lynmar. And I can't remember who we would play. Valley. Yeah, probably Valley. You know, those are outstanding programs, coached very, very well. But there's just something about this group. They're having a lot of fun. You know, they enjoy each other's company. Our coaching staff is second to none. And when you try to, you know, put together four new coaches and try to get them to gel with the kids, of course, having Sarah Brandt back, and her past history, has helped, but it's just the feeling right now is kind of a dynamic feeling, and we're real excited to get down there tomorrow and see what happens.
Well, of course, if they can win the title, that'd be a nice way for you to go out, wouldn't it?
We'll take it. Yeah, we'll ride that one out for sure.
Well, I know Dallas Center Grimes is also qualified for state in the 2A tournament, so you're probably going to keep an eye on them as well, aren't you?
Yep. I've got my DCG polo and my DCG baseball cap that I'll put on right around 2 o'clock tomorrow, and then we'll as Coach Brown puts it, we'll do the Wonder Woman change in the car and come back out with the maroon and gold and support our Hawkettes. But it's really kind of a neat deal. I mean, I was a little bit jealous of Scott Jarvis a couple years ago, or last year actually, when Newton was in there, and he made the switch in close when Centennial was playing as well. So I'm excited about that and excited to spend about 4 hours down at County.
Sure. Well, of course, one of the highlights of your time at Ankeny came back in 2015 when the girls' soccer team captured the Class 2A state title. What are some of your fondest memories of that team and what they were able to accomplish?
Well, I'll just start with coaching. You know, Lacey Wolf, what an exceptional human being, and just a fantastic coach. Her approach was unbelievable. You know, I think you know, you look at the caliber of players on that squad, and what they were able to do, of course, was very special. And they all went on, and now they're in college and having great careers in college. And that was one of those moments where I felt like we had sort of arrived, you know, and got that respect that our school deserved, and it was really a neat moment.
Well, it's hard to believe that some of those girls, you know, like Kelsey Yarrow and Carolyn Belt, you know, are now done playing. You know, time sure flies by.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yep, and Laughlin and that whole bunch, you know, they're on doing bigger things, and it's just special kids for sure.
When you look back on your tenure at Ankeny, I'm sure you'll remember, you know, the people that you met and the relationships that you built, you know, because probably as much as anything, your job is about connecting with people, isn't it?
It really is. And actually, I have had an opportunity to, that, you know, when you're in this job, Dan, and you know this as well as anybody, relationships are what it's all about. And so as I've taken some time just to, you know, take some pictures with my mind, take some pictures with my camera. You know, I took a couple pictures tonight of our announcer and Eric Griffith, who's run our scoreboard for me for 6 years, and our ticket takers out there. There's some wonderful adults that are doing great things for kids. And that's probably what I'll remember the most about this. And that's true everywhere I've ever been. I mean, just people make it run. And Ankeny's no different. There's a lot of special individuals here. And the good thing about it is I'm not moving, you know, so we get to see those individuals in a different light, hopefully, still have those great connections.
Sure. Well, your successor at Ankeny, Andy Unthan, has already been named. He's coming here from Cedar Rapids Xavier, and I know he's trying to get acclimated here just like you are at DCG because I met him briefly the other night at the ball fields. So what do you know about Andy, and what should the people of Ankeny know about him?
Yeah, so Andy and I have spent the last day and a half just kind of, you know, working through a long list of questions that he had, you know, coming in. He's a former coach, has bounced around. You know, he was at Bishop Heelan, Dowlinger. That's the only thing we're going to hold against him right now. He's a Dowlinger, but I was giving him a hard time about that the other day. He went out to Bishop Heelan, up to Esterville as a football coach, then down to Xavier. He's done a great job at Xavier. I believe that, you know, even though it's a smaller school, like I said before, you still have to hire your officials. You have to hire coaches. You have to take care of transportation. All those things don't change no matter where you're at. I know he's looking forward to the challenge. You know, like I told him the other day, this will be one of the hardest jobs that you'll ever have, but it can also be one of the most rewarding jobs that you'll ever have in a town, in a district like Ankeny Community Schools. And I really think he's excited for that. I know that he's you know, eager to get going, as I am over at DCG. He's going to be a coach's AD. I really believe that, and he'll be a good fit for Ankeny.
I know you told me that the biggest challenge in coming here will be getting to know all the people, especially all the different coaches, you know, but I'm sure you feel like, you know, with all the coaches that we've kind of been talking about here, that he's walking into a pretty good situation, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is. I told him the other day, I said, you got to tee it up, man. Don't screw it up here. So he'll be, and I'd say that kind of jokingly, because we all know that there's a lot more that goes into this thing here than just having something teed up here. But obviously there's a lot of growth in our programs, and I think he's excited to take over that, and you know, I told him yesterday, I said, you know, your success will be my success moving forward here, and you know, I'm here to answer any questions and try to help out anyways, but you really got to run your own program, and he'll do a good job of that.
All right, so your final day here will be June 30th, and then you'll officially start your new job at DCG. You mentioned earlier that you're getting towards the end of your career, and I don't know if you have any other, you know, long-term goals in mind or not. You know, do you think this might be your last job as a high school AD then?
Yeah, you know, you get to that point in time in your career, and you start thinking along those lines. I think if things go the way they should go, it probably will be. But, you know, then again, you got to make sure that you're financially set for the future here. And I just know that this, and this isn't, you know, an Ankeny thing. This is the position of activities director might be one of the more, and this is no disrespect to any of the other positions that we have in this district, but I really believe it might be one of the more demanding jobs. So in 6 years, if I feel like it's ready to go, it's time to go, and it's time to go bag groceries at Fairway. It might be that time. But my wife the other day told me there's no way you're going to stay retired, because I took a few days off last week, and my head was spinning thinking about what, you know, need to be done back at work. So I actually turned those days in and went back to work for 3 days. And so I'll need to be doing something. But I'm really excited about the new opportunity and a chance to meet an entirely new community and set of kids.
Well, I know a few people over there. I think you'll really be a good fit over there. So I wish you all the best of luck over there, Brent. It's been a pleasure to work with you the last 6 years. Really appreciate all the help you've given me during that time. And I'm sure I'll be running into you occasionally. So thanks a lot for stopping in today.
I appreciate that, Dan. And again, once again, I've said this to you before, and what you do for the kids of Ankeny and the coaches of Ankeny and the parents and the community itself is absolutely remarkable. And you don't have an easy job either, trying to balance, you know, the coverage from both sides of town. I get how that goes. You do a great job of representing Ankeny and what is all really good about Ankeny Community Schools. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Brent. Appreciate it. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Revive Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive has a large menu of aesthetic procedures, including Botox, cosmetic fillers, hydrofacials, cool sculpting, laser hair removal, Forever Young photo facials, halo, and a medically supervised weight loss program. Dr. Steph is now offering hormone pellet therapy for men and women. She has over 15 years of aesthetic experience and 30 years in the healthcare field. Her staff is top-notch and the best in the industry. They give every new patient a complimentary consult that includes a Visia skin analysis valued at $200. Revive Clinic and Spa is conveniently located at 1850 Southwest Plaza Shops Lane in South Ankeny by the new Hy-Vee. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Well, my next guest is a standout guard on the Simpson College men's basketball team. As a junior last season, the former Ankeny High star averaged a team-high 18.2 points per game while leading the Storm to a 16-10 record, and he was a repeat selection to the All-Conference first team. He is Connor Reardon. Connor, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Hey, you bet. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, how's your summer going? I know you're working at a Simpson basketball camp right now. Are you keeping busy?
Yeah, I am. Just working a little bit and then working a lot of basketball camps, just staying connected to the game, kind of getting some coaching connections going.
Well, congratulations on another outstanding season last year. You've certainly had a great career at Simpson, and you're only 11 points shy of the 1,000-point career milestone right now going into your senior season. Does it seem like your career has gone by pretty fast?
Oh, super fast. I cannot believe I'm already a senior. I don't even really want to think about it coming to an end, but I'm excited for one more senior year.
It just seems like it was, you know, maybe a few months ago when you hit that big shot against Centennial to win that one game back in high school, huh?
Yeah, it does.
Well, you had a couple of 30-plus point games this last season, including 36 and a loss to Coe when you went 15 of 23 from the field. You were 6 of 10 from behind the arc. You know, were you really feeling it that night?
Yeah, I was. I knew the previous two games I hadn't played very well, so I kind of wanted to come out and play confident. Coach kind of just instilled the confidence in me and just kind of let it go.
Well, I noticed you had no free throw attempts in that game, though. How do you get up 23 shots and never get fouled?
That's a good question. I did take 10 threes, so I guess I was staying out behind the arc a lot.
There you go. Well, you also had 35 points in a season-opening loss to Bethany Lutheran when you hit a game-tying three-pointer at the end of regulation to force overtime. I know that game kind of had a wild finish. Can you describe how that last shot came about?
Oh, yeah. That was a wild finish. So I actually... So we were down three, and I stole the inbound pass with like 3 seconds left, and I called timeout immediately, and we actually didn't have timeout, so kind of like a little Chris Webber thing. So they got a technical free throw. I think they missed it, but we ended up getting the ball back. I'm not really sure how that works, but then I just hit a long shot at the buzzer. So the timeout actually ended up kind of working in our favor.
Well, man, you could replay that game about 100 times and you never have that same outcome.
Oh, I know.
Well, you really put up some impressive shooting numbers this season. You shot 49% from the field, 39.2% from a three-point range, and 85.2% from the free throw line. You know, what's put you pretty close to that magical stat line of 50, 40, 90. You know, with a slight improvement in each of those areas, you know, you could potentially reach those numbers. Do you think that's a realistic goal going into the season?
I think so. I think there were a lot of games where I felt like I could have shot better. Dealing with a little bit of injury too, I feel like I was a little rusty coming back off of that. So I think, yeah, that'd be a great goal for next year.
Well, I saw your coach, Brad Bjorkgren, at Pizza Fest last weekend. But there was such a big crowd there, I didn't get a chance to get over and talk to him. But Brad has compiled a 16-43 record in four seasons at Simpson since leaving his previous job at Urbandale High School. And I know you knew Brad a little bit during high school, but you've really enjoyed playing for him, haven't you?
Oh, I love Brad. Yeah, so I knew him pretty well in high school, actually. We talked always before games and during the summer a lot. So we had that connection immediately when I got to Simpson. And yeah, he's just someone I love playing for and would do anything for. And I'd really love to see all the success he's been having.
Was the point guard for the team? I know he kind of puts the ball in your hands and wants you to lead the way. Does he kind of let you, you know, do what you want to out there?
Yeah, he always says, you know, I kind of have the keys, or I'm kind of like a second coach out there on the floor. That's just kind of an awesome kind of attest to our relationship that we have. You know, I trust him. He trusts me to go out there and play. So if he has my back, I'm going to have his back.
Well, your team went 9-7 in the conference during the regular season. You guys hosted the opening round of the conference tournament and defeated Co before falling to the eventual tournament champs, Nebraska Wesleyan, in the semifinals. Do you feel like your team reached its potential this last season?
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously we wanted to get a little bit further. We had five seniors too. I wanted to see them kind of get out, go out on a high note. But the previous 3 years, we've actually hosted a home game and we've lost all three of those. So it was nice to kind of finally break that curse, get over the hump. But yeah, when we run into the number one team in the country, they caused some problems, but I think we gave them a good run.
Well, one of your Simpson teammates is Adam Ryder, another former Ankeny player. He was a second-team all-conference pick last season after averaging 13.6 points and 7.5 rebounds, which were both career highs. You know, are you amazed at how far he's come as a player since high school? Because he really didn't play all that much at Ankeny.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I'm astonished. The kid, he's earned everything that all the success he's had. He's worked his butt off in the summers. And he's really kind of just taken advantage of his athleticism and his height, and he's just found ways to use that and implement it in his game. And he just works so hard, so I'm very proud of him.
Well, you were named a Google Cloud Academic All-American after the season, just one of 15 student-athletes in Division III men's basketball to receive this honor. You have a 3.96 GPA while majoring in mathematics, which was the fourth highest mark of those selected to the team. You obviously take a lot of pride in your academics as well. You know, has it been hard for you to juggle your classwork, you know, along with the demands of being a college basketball player?
Yeah, definitely. Being a college athlete, I mean, that obviously you have a lot on your plate, but I think Simpson, you know, being a small school like that, they do an awesome job of the professors working with you, working with your basketball schedule and making sure that the time you do miss, that you're getting that made up. So, I mean, being able to succeed on the court and off the court, they really helped me do that.
So what do you plan to do with a degree in math? Are you looking to become like a teacher and a coach in the future?
Yep, that's the plan right now. I'm looking to go in a little bit higher ed. I've thought about college professor and even get into administration. But yeah, I think I'm going to start out as a math teacher and definitely want to coach.
So kind of following in Coach Pete's footsteps.
Yep.
There, right? Well, I also want to talk to you about your upcoming trip to South America. You were selected for the USA Division III basketball select national team that will be going to Brazil next month. You're getting pretty excited about this trip?
Oh, definitely. It was quite the honor getting this invitation. They sent me the roster a couple weeks ago, and it looks like the guys I'm playing with are some real serious hoopers. So, yeah, I'm excited to get down there, see a new place, and meet some new people. It should be fun.
Well, yeah, I see you were one of 10 players named to the squad, and I understand they kind of reached out to you. You didn't have to apply for this or anything, right?
No, I didn't. So, actually, someone in our conference, Jaron Sabas, who went to Urbandale, he played at Wartburg, he went last year. So I don't know, maybe if there was a connection there, but yeah, they reached out to me, which was pretty cool.
Well, you mentioned those other players that were on the roster. Do you know any of those guys, or do you happen to know their names?
I've played one of them. He goes to Hope College, which is in Michigan, and okay. That's our head coach is actually the Hope College head coach too. So I got a little bit of connection there. from this previous season. But other than that, yeah, I don't know anyone. A lot of East Coast kids.
Okay. Well, I see that the trip starts in Sao Paulo on July 8th. You guys will play two games against Brazil professional teams there. You'll then fly to Rio de Janeiro for two more games. Now, do you know if you guys will have much time together beforehand to try to work some things out?
Yeah. So we're meeting down in Orlando, I know. And we're flying down together as a team. And I think we'll have a couple days of practice down in Brazil before we actually play a game. And then I think we every other day we have a game, so we'll have practice on the off days too.
Okay. So when they put the team together, do you know they put together, like, say, four forwards, four guards, and a couple centers?
Yeah. He said he's trying to do two at each position, so two ones, two twos, two threes.
Oh, so. Gotcha. So obviously your role will be like probably like at Simpson, huh? Be a
point
guard, huh?
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm sure one of the best parts of the trip will be getting out to see some of the sights in Brazil. Do you know much of anything about that country?
I kind of got to see Rio a little bit when the Olympics was hosted there. But, yeah, it looks really cool. I know we're staying right on Copacabana Beach, which is where a lot of, like, the sand volleyball games were held. So that looks like a cool area. I know we get to go see Christ the Redeemer statue and get a hike up there. So, yeah, it should be really neat.
Well, now I saw where you were also selected in the Capital City League draft by the Global Greatness Team. Now, are you going to be able to play in the Capital City League before you head to Brazil?
Yeah, I think I should be able to get about four games in before I head there. Too bad I can't complete the whole season, but, yeah, still looking forward to that opportunity.
Okay, well, I see the Capital City League starts on June 16th, and the games are going to be played out in West Des Moines for anyone who wants to catch some of the action. Now let's take a look at the roster for your team. You've got a couple of Iowa State guys, Terrence Lewis and Javon Johnson, who's the transfer from Troy. You also have a couple of Drake guys, Issa Samaki and Connor Golson. You know, what do you think of your roster there?
Yeah, I think we should have a good shot to win it. I had Terrence on my team last year. He's a really good guy. I've heard a lot of good things about the Iowa State transfer. Issa Samaki, I've seen him all over the highlight reel this past season. And then Connor, I played him in high school. He's a really good guard, really good shooter. So, yeah, we got some good D1 talent on the squad for sure.
All right. Well, before I let you go, Connor, I wanted to get your thoughts on the NBA Finals. Game three is tonight in Oakland. You know, who do you think is going to win tonight?
I got the Warriors tonight. But I'm a big Raptors supporter of this series. Coach B, his nephew, actually, is an assistant coach for the Raptors.
That's right. Yeah.
So we got some connections there. I love Kawhi. Just what he does both ends of the floor, but man, the Warriors are just too much, I think.
Well, it kind of depends on how healthy they're going to be.
If
KD doesn't come back right away, or if Clay isn't quite 100%, I mean, I think they got a shot.
Yeah, they do, definitely.
It's at least interesting, so. Well, the last thing I wanted to ask you about is your love of Kansas basketball. I know you've been a big Jayhawks fan for a long time.
Yeah.
So how did you become such a big Kansas fan?
It was always on my bucket list to get down to Allen Fieldhouse. So me and my dad, I think when I was in just an eighth grader, I was always a kind of neutral fan. So in eighth grade, me and my dad took a trip down to Allen Fieldhouse, fell in love instantly. I feel like there's no better atmosphere in college basketball. I just immediately became a fan.
Yeah, it's a cool place to see a game. I saw a game there when I was in college about 30 years ago.
Okay.
And then this last season, I went down there with a friend of mine, Chris Doubleday, and his son, Ryan.
Yep,
you know those guys. We went down there for the Iowa State game on Big Monday. That was a good time.
Yeah.
So, heck of a game. But, well, I know Kansas' streak of Big 12 titles came to an end last season. But it seems like, you know, they've had a good offseason. Azubuike is coming back. And I believe Silvio D'Souza has finally been cleared by the NCAA to return.
About time.
So do you think these guys got a chance to get back on top next year?
I think so. We'll have a good front court. I'm a little worried about the back court. I know Dotson came back. But then I saw Quentin Grimes transferred. So we definitely need some shooting. Can't just rely all on the post these days in the game. So hopefully Bill fills in a few pieces there.
Oh, I'm sure he will. He's done that before. So, well, hey, Connor, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Ankeny office at Iowa Realty closed in excess of $250 million in real estate in 2018. Their agents represent over 20 new construction builders and communities all over the metro. With interest rates at historic lows, would you like to know what your home is worth in today's market? If so, you can give them a call at 453-5800. That number again is 453-5800. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.